Good morning, Ryan. How's it going today?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's balmy out. What sort of things are happening in the legislature this week? I know Governor Tim Walz introduced a COVID, or not COVID, but a 2021 jobs plan.
Yeah, so we will be taking up another Public Works or capital investment bill this year, hopefully. It does take votes from Republicans and Democrats in both the Senate and the House, so it's often challenging to work out exactly what the package will include. But the governor's announcement yesterday was a first step focused on making sure that existing state buildings and assets aren't falling apart. And we'll look at that as well as other local needs and whether the amount of $250 million is sufficient, or we should increase it to address a backlog of other projects and job needs.
So when the governor introduces plans like these, do members of the House try to write up legislation that matches these priorities, or do they take the governor's proposal as is?
Well, the House of Representatives and the Senate decides the state budget, we decide taxes, we decide on bills like capital investment. We give the governor's bills a hearing and listen to what he has to say, but then we start from scratch building our bills with his recommendations, but we build it from scratch using the priorities of House members, and the Senate will do the same on their side. So it's a kind of like an introductory position, but we as the legislative branch write our own bills.
Got it. All right. Thanks for clarifying that. What else is happening this week?
Well, we have today we have a hearing on a paid family and medical leave. That's a bill that has been around for a number of years, and we have not been able to get the bipartisan support that we need to pass it. Basically, it's like it's similar to unemployment insurance, where everybody who is working and employers pay in a small amount every month, and then if you get sick, if a family member gets sick, or if you have a child, then you can get some amount of your time off paid. So it's a little bit like, well, it's similar to workers' comp or unemployment insurance. Everyone pays in, and if you need it, you get some money if you can't go to work.
Do you have any idea of the economic impacts no paid medical leave provides? I know I just had a baby a couple years ago, and I was fortunate to get some paid medical leave, which helped my family greatly. But what's the economic impact of not having something like that to protect families?
The biggest thing that happens is that people who go through, new baby or illness often don't end up going back to their same employer or often don't end up going back into the workplace. For whatever reason, the paid family leave allows people to have the expectation that they're going back in the workforce. Their job will be there for them when they go back, which is already the law. But for some reason, when people get separated, they don't get back. And that is, especially as you just raised, has a huge impact on the employment for women in the economy. So not only does this help people care for families, it also helps keep workers stay attached to the workforce. And we really need people participating in the workforce. Minnesota has had a pretty high amount of people working historically, but that number has gone down over time as other, family care needs have increased, and we haven't provided public support and don't have private, and not enough people make enough money to keep going on their own.
So I think an important piece of, people returning back to work is childcare as well. Is there anything on the horizon to address childcare needs in the house?
What we've been doing through COVID is just trying to keep childcare providers in business. We have been spending, and the federal government has been spending hundreds of millions of dollars just to keep those centers, those family child cares open, because with people not working or going to work, I should say, they haven't been able to keep their doors open without help. And so what we're looking at is the next phase. As workers and the economy opens up, people are working more in person. We still have a huge shortage of child care everywhere in Minnesota, and it's unaffordable. So we're looking at legislation to help make it more affordable and help support the child care providers that are out there.
All right, sounds good. A big story here in Bemidji is the many cuts the Bemidji School District will have to make to avoid a statutory operating debt. And I'm sure Bemidji isn't the only school district in the state facing these challenges.
Absolutely not. And over, you know, whether it is COVID or just the slow decline of state funding for education, it's really put a lot on the backs of property taxpayers, and not all property taxpayers can really afford to pay more for schools. So the state really needs to step up, and that's one of the top priorities coming out of this budget this year, is to make sure that schools are able to keep operating and not start cutting back on key services. You know, when I went to the Bemidji schools, we had great education, and it was well funded by the state of Minnesota, and I'd like to go back to a time where every kid, every part of the state has a great education because the state itself values it and pays for it.
All right, Ryan. Well, that I think that wraps up my questions for this week, weekly chat. Is there anything else about what's going on in Minleg that you wanted to be sure to bring up before we wrap up?
Well, we also are, I'm carrying two bills that will help veterans. One, cannabis bill that I'm carrying, will have a hearing in the Veterans Committee today, and another bill to provide EMDR therapy to veterans who have gone through PTSD and other kinds of trauma to help them recover. So lots of things happening, but I'll be working on two bills this week related to veterans in Minnesota.
So the cannabis bill also helps veterans? Explain.
Well, PTSD, long-term pain, the kinds of battlefield injuries that get treated lead to a heavy use of opioids among veterans. And cannabis is a safe, non-addictive alternative to opioids. And so we're going to hear stories about how access to cannabis has helped save a lot of veterans from the terrible scourge of opioids. But it's expensive and hard to get to if you're a veteran and you can't get it through the VA. So our cannabis bill helps make sure that they have access to an alternative to opioids.
I see. Thank you for clarifying that. Well, I think I am done with questions here, though, Ryan. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm sure you're very busy.
Okay. Thanks, Larissa.
Yep. Bye-bye.